Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgeman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
If you've got your Bibles here tonight, I want to speak tonight actually on, I think, something that's so important for us to focus on, and that's actually our future. And that God actually would love to get involved in the future and the plans and the things that we have purpose for our life, that we're not here just to go and make our own plans. We're not here to go and just make our own calls, our own decisions, but actually God wants to be involved in directing the steps of our life. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms 37. And we're going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Psalms just to set up this message tonight. And it says this in Psalm 37 and verse 23. It says, "The Lord, He directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." What a great passage of scripture. It says, you know what God does when you and I begin this relationship with Him? He begins to get involved with the steps of our life. In other words, the steps of our life, they represent our decisions, they represent our choices, they represent those things that are ahead in our life. He says, when you begin this relationship, God wants to get involved with those decisions. God wants to get involved with those steps. In fact, the Bible goes one more than that, and He says, God delights in every single detail of our life. And I thought that's an amazing, amazing passage of scripture. And I want to ask you tonight, I want to come and ask you a very important question tonight. And that's all framed around a question which I've put to you tonight, which is, what is your next step? What is your next step? Because I believe this, every single person here tonight, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, or whether you're agnostic or wherever you may be. In fact, I believe every person here tonight, every person on planet Earth is on a spiritual journey. And that journey is really, I believe, a journey where we have this quest or this desire to find meaning, to find fulfillment, and to find a sense of, why am I here on this planet? And the Bible says this, is a passage of scripture. It says, God has set eternity in the hearts of you and I, of men and women. So we're born, not just, the Bible says, as creations of God, but we're born with this sense of eternity that's on the inside of us. And that eternal aspect of us is reaching out for meaning. It's reaching out to find purpose. It's reaching out to find fulfillment. And I, you know what? Our whole world actually grasps this idea. I don't think there's barely a Hollywood movie that's been made that doesn't have somewhere in its core this idea of our search for meaning, our search for fulfillment, our search for purpose in life. One of my favorite movie series is a trilogy of movies called Lord of the Rings. And it's great. You know, if you're really a hardcore fan, you might watch the extended edition. If you're really hardcore, you might watch that whole extended edition in one hit and spend 12 hours of your life watching Lord of the Rings. But what I think captures the heart of people, maybe if you're not even into that particular genre, but what captured the heart of people particularly who watched that movie was these two characters by the name of Sam and Frodo. And they form this friendship. But really, at the heart of that friendship is that they're on this quest. You know, they're on this journey together. And they understand that as Sam and Frodo, they begin this journey, there's all sorts of people they meet along the way. There's all sorts of experience they have. But really, at the essence or the heart of that story is that there's these two guys who understand that there's more to life than what they've been living. There's more to life than the existence that they'd had in their little particular village in that time. And actually, there was a sense of there being a quest. There was a sense of there being a higher purpose for their life, something they needed to do to fulfill. And I believe that's actually what the scripture is saying here. The scripture is saying that for every person, that God has set this eternal thing in our heart, this eternal aspect where we actually, even if we do not yet know God, or we do not yet even believe in Him, we have this nature that reflects the nature of God and says that there must be more to life than just where I've got. There must be more to life. There must be more to purpose than that. And so we're all on a journey. But we know this, that journey, we understand, is a journey of actually discovering purpose, a journey of finding fulfillment in life. And what begins to happen is that in life, we begin to walk our own way. We begin to follow our own path in life. And we may be looking around for where we can find fulfillment, or where we can find meaning, or where we can find purpose in life. And then what begins to happen is through that journey for many people is that they actually have this encounter with God. They meet Jesus. And when you and I meet Jesus, we discover actually that the purpose and fulfillment that God has destined for our life is first found in His Son. And so God's plan, I believe this for every person, is that they would on their spiritual journey meet His Son Jesus. That our life is so powerfully changed when we have this encounter with God, because what begins to happen is when you and I have this encounter with God is that He begins to change us from the inside out. He begins to transform us from the inside out. And for some people here tonight, you're gonna get that opportunity to actually at the end of this message to pray a prayer, which is a prayer to simply receive Christ into your life, but that prayer can change your life. That one decision that you make, even here tonight, can actually have an influence on your destiny and your future, because what begins to happen is this, is God begins to do this work of transformation, which He does by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and He leads us on a journey of change, a journey of transformation. And that journey is not about trying to become a better person. It's not about trying to become more religious. That journey is not about trying to adhere to a book of rules or trying to just do good things. No, that journey of transformation is actually about opening my heart, asking God to come into my life and be my Lord. And He said that He will change me and He will transform me. And so maybe you're here tonight and you haven't yet made that decision. I tell you what, the greatest decision I believe that you and I can make is to do that, is to say, Lord, I want You to reveal to me the purpose and meaning of my life. And God will do that. But He does that through a relationship. But I believe once you and I begin that relationship with God, it actually begins this journey, this pathway with God of discovering the purpose of God for our life. Discovering that actually God has called you and I to walk out this journey in life, and He's filling it with purpose. He's filling it with meaning. He's filling it with a sense of destiny, a call that's on our life. And that's what I believe is so powerful when you and I begin that journey, is that you and I discover that actually, yeah, God has ordained my life. The Bible says that He's ordained the days of my life. In other words, God has set the days of my life up. He's thought about them. He's actually got a purpose for my life, a purpose for my days. And He's done that even before I was born. But God leads us on this journey by actually taking what's called next steps. In other words, as we begin, as the scripture says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. In other words, we begin to walk out this journey, and God begins to lead us in this journey by saying, I want you to take steps. And I believe as you and I continue to take steps, as we begin to take these steps of faith, as we begin to move with God, what we find is God reveals the purpose and the call of God for our life as well. And so here tonight, I want to talk to you about your next steps tonight, because I believe this, God's always prompting you. And God's always prompting me to take next steps, whether you've been a follower of Christ for maybe 3 or 4 months, or maybe you've been a follower of Christ for 15 years, 20 years, or even longer. I believe this, God is always asking you and I to take new steps of faith. Maybe you're saying it tonight, I've been a Christian for a long time. I don't know if I think I've done all the steps. I think I've arrived in that place. Now, can I tell you here tonight, when you and I discover that actually, you know what? God has never stopped planning the course and the steps of our life. And if I will just continue that journey walking with Him, I will always discover the bigness of God, the purpose of God for our life. And so I want to talk about some of the next steps of faith, the next steps in our journey with God that you and I can take. Are you ready tonight? I'll try it again. Are you ready tonight? Okay, what's my next step? I want to give you a few next steps tonight. And I believe maybe there'll be one of these steps tonight, or maybe several of these steps that you and I can begin to take. Well, here's the first step that I believe is so important after you and I begin our relationship with God, and that's to be water baptized. Maybe you've never been water baptized before. You say, well, why would I need to be water baptized? Why is that the first step? Why is that one of the most important steps? Well, the answer is very simple, because in the Bible, we see this pattern happen all the way through Scripture, all the way through the New Testament. Listen to this in Acts 8, verse 12. Here's one example of it. It says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There's two words that are really important. You'll see it all through Scripture. Here's one example. We could do so many. It says they believed and then they were baptized. They heard the message of the good news and then they were water baptized. So when you and I believe, it's a personal decision that you and I make to begin this relationship with Christ. But then we see this second step or this next thing that begins to happen, and that's after people believe, they are baptized. The pattern in Scripture is that people believe, they make a personal decision, and then they're water baptized. So water baptisms, it's really about going public with my faith. You know, in Scripture, it says that when the beginning of Jesus' ministry started, we find a guy by the name of John the Baptist, and it says he's water baptizing people. It says crowds of people are coming from all around the countryside to be water baptized. The picture that we have there is that we have people in families coming. We have younger people. We have older people, but they're people flocking, and what they're doing is they're making a decision that they're going public with their faith. They're beginning this process of not just believing in God, but actually being water baptized and being changed and turning from an old way of life and now turning to this new way of life where they begin to follow Christ. They begin to pursue and seek first the kingdom of God in their life. And I love that because I reckon one of the most powerful moments that we have in our church is we have these Sundays and we call them Water Baptism Sundays. And to see people who actually have not only begun this journey by faith, they've expressed their belief in God, but then actually they begin the next step in their journey, they're water baptized, and to see those stories and to hear what happens in people's lives. I remember for me, when I was 18 years old, I accepted Christ. I began that journey. I said yes to Christ in a Sunday night service like this one. And about 2 months after that, I've been going to meetings, coming here on Sundays every week. And then on a Wednesday night, I was invited to go to a group and they were having water baptisms there. And I was at a place at Aspley and his name was Harry's house. So I remember that. And it was right in the middle of winter. And so our water baptisms were in the pool at Harry's house in about June. It was a little bit colder that time, I can tell you right now. And so I remember getting into that pool and I remember the water baptism moment. But you know what? Something powerful happened that night for me. I remember that, you know, I had discovered that God actually loved me. I discovered that there was a presence of God that I could experience and feel. And I began to experience that when I came to church. But the moment I got water baptized, it was like there was a sense of heaven opening over my life. And I remember for the first time, I could experience not just God's love, but I remember experiencing the Father heart of God. I remember just that sense of God speaking to my heart that particular day and Him speaking. It was almost like God was speaking directly to me. And He said, Andrew, you're my son in whom I love. And I am so pleased with you. And I remember when I walked out of that place, I had this such a powerful and such a real sense in my heart that I had a heavenly Father and He loved me and He had created me, not just to be an anonymous follower of Christ, but actually that He had called me now to walk as His son. And that I had a dad in heaven and He would love me and He would walk with me, and He would guide me all the days of my life. And that changed me. That changed my whole picture of who God was. It changed my relationship with Him. But it happened through that process, through that step of being water baptized. I love that. Being water baptized is one of the greatest decisions you and I can make. Here's another step. I reckon the second step that you and I can make is make a commitment to church. You see, church is not a building. How many of you know that? Church is not even the facilities that we have, although they're amazing. Church is actually family. That's the picture in the Bible. The picture in the Bible is church is represented by the family of God. It's by the people of God. It's by relationships. And relationships actually thrive on the foundation of commitments that we make. And I believe it's exactly the same with church. You and I will flourish in church when you and I make a commitment to those relationships that we find in church. If it says this in Psalm 92, verse 13, it says, those that are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God. That word planted, it speaks of our commitments. It speaks of that idea of putting our roots down. It speaks of that idea of that actually, no, I'm not just coming to church, but I'm actually committed to relationships here. I'm committed to gathering together. In the book of Ephesians 2, verse 9, This is what it speaks about every believer. It says, you are a member of God's very own family. There's that word family again. He says, you've now actually, speaking here of when you and I begin this journey with Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, he says, now you have become part of God's family. You see, God doesn't see you anymore just as a person or just with as a name, but now actually God sees you and I as sons and daughters. Isn't that awesome? God says, I see you now as a son, I see you as a daughter, but actually, guess what? I see you as part of a family. I see you as part of a community of faith. And he says, you're part of this family. Listen to what it says. So what it's saying is this, not only are you part of God's family, but it says, but you belong in God's household. So scripture here is telling us that we can belong in God's family. We can belong in God's household. In other words, there's a place, there's a house, there's a family that God connects every believer to. And maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're not connected yet in family. Maybe you're not connected yet into a church. We'd invite you to come on that journey and be a part of God's family right here. I'm gonna tell you right now, it's not a perfect family. I tell you right now, there's parts of each of us that's imperfect in any ways. But I tell you what, when you become part of the family, you'll experience everything that God has for your life because you'll discover that it's through the relationships that God connects you to, that you'll discover his voice, you'll discover encouragement, you'll discover strength, and you'll discover hope in that place. And here's what I'd say about commitment to church. Maybe you've been coming along for a little bit of time here in church. Here's what I'd say to you. Just give it 1 year. I love this saying, go boots and all into something. Go wholeheartedly. I reckon this, if you would give church 1 year, if you just get involved in everything, I guarantee this, your life will be remarkably different at the end of 12 months. Because guess what? Because you've made that commitment and it's from a foundation of commitment, the Bible says that actually when we're planted in God's house, we're gonna flourish in his courts. You know, next week, if you haven't yet done the growth track, next week we start step one of the growth track. Step one of the growth track is called this, it's called Start the Journey, which really is all about this. It's really about discovering who our church is, about how to make church your home, what the vision and the values of the church is, finding all about how you can become a part of the church and how you can be involved here. So there's a second thing is make a commitment. Here's a third thing is get involved in a group, get connected in a group in a church. You say, why is it so important to get involved in a group in a church? I'll say it this way, because your friendships and your future are connected. Your friendships and your future are connected. Show me your friendships and I'll show you your future. You know what? I believe this. The relationship decisions that you and I make are always the most important decisions that we make in our life. And I believe it's absolutely vital that you and I, we make good decisions about who we're going to let influence and shape our life. Relationships will influence and shape our life, either towards the things of God or away from the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:15, it says that in the context of our relationships, it says bad company or bad relationships, they corrupt good character. But the reverse is also true as well. Great relationships, healthy relationships, they will also bring life to us. They'll also bring health and strength and direction to our life as well. And I've discovered in life this, where God is actually wanting to be involved in every detail of our life. Many times he wants to be involved in the shaping of the relationships that are in our life, the shaping of the friendships in our life. Sometimes it's to pull away from certain relationships that are in our life because they become a negative thing that are pulling us away from God. But also I find as well that God will begin to work in the relationships of our life, trying to steer us towards those relationships, those friendships, leaders in our life who will begin to actually shape our character and begin to move us towards the purposes and the things of God in our life. So relationships, your friendships, they're going to unlock your future. I love the story of Toby and Alina we heard before on the Vision Builders Out. I love that story. They said, you know, her journey for Alina coming into church was actually for her to not just come into church, but actually to find relationships. She said that actually the biggest step she had to take was to get involved in a connect group, get involved in a small group. And she said it was from that small group that she was able to open up her life. She was able to get real about the struggles and the challenges that she was having. And then in that place of her opening her heart and opening her life, she discovered that there was a voices of wisdom and encouragement. She discovered that she could access the power and the life of God to break things off her life. And what I love about Alina's story, she didn't quite share it in all its fullness there. You know, Alina's been one of the greatest people in the last few months of leading people to Christ. And that's the journey of transformation as God leads each and every one of us on. It's actually to not just come to church, but actually to discover the power of relationships. And our church here, we love to say it this way. Our church, we need to get bigger. So we need to get bigger numerically. We need to get bigger in the amount of people that we're reaching. But we also need to get smaller as well. We need to get smaller in the sense that you and I believe each of us need to find a group of friendships, a group of relationships. And in our connect groups and small groups, that's what that's about. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the Bible here is saying, don't neglect, don't put it down your priority list of gathering together, not just at church on Sunday, but in groups on Wednesday or through the week. It says, make it a habit in your life, and says, what begins to happen when you and I hang around other Christians, when you and I begin to invest in relationships with other believers? It says, we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then it says, we encourage one another as well. And so that's what groups are all about in our church here. It's providing life-giving relationships that we can inspire, that we can spur one another on towards all the things that God would have us do. Amen. Here's another thing that you and I can do. Another great next step is that we can grow in God's word. We can grow in God's word this year. You need to keep growing. And here's a great way to think about it. How do you and I grow naturally? Well, the answer is very simple. We grow naturally by the food that we eat. I've discovered this in what over many years of working with teenagers particularly, is that, you know, teenage boys tend to need a lot of food at different times in their life. And, you know, I love to watch teenage boys particularly come in and they open up the pantry cupboard and they just tend to stare at that pantry cupboard. They open it up, they look in there and there's more food in there and they'll walk away. And then usually about 10 minutes later, they'll come back again, they'll open the pantry cupboard and they'll look. It's almost like just by looking in there and opening the door that actually something will magically appear that wasn't there before. And but you know, here's the thing is that the more growth that's needed, the more food that's required. The connection between food and growth is so strong. And so as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual as well. We need to grow, but actually God has spiritual food for us. That spiritual food is actually his word. It's the Bible. He says, take that word, take spiritual food. And as you and I begin to intake that spiritual food in a life, what we begin to find is we find that we begin to grow. And that's what I love about God's word, is God's word actually is designed to help you and I grow. And so the word of God is like it's our food so that we could grow spiritually every single day of our life. And I think one of the greatest habits that you and I can just begin to form, or maybe it's a habit that you might have slipped out of for a while, is to open up our Bible and just to read some of our Bible every day. You know, I've discovered it doesn't actually have to be a lot. You can just read some of God's word every day and you'll find this, you'll begin to grow. One of the great habits that I've tried to do in my life is the first thing I do every day, the first thing I do every morning is just to open up my Bible and just begin to read God's word. Actually, that may be the second thing. I have a coffee first. Then the second thing I do is I take that coffee and then I begin to open up God's word. And you know, there's so many ways you can do that. You can do that by opening up a physical Bible, which is great to have. You can open up YouVersion on there as well, which is awesome. You can find all kinds of plans and devotionals. Just begin to open up God's word. Just begin to have a meal of God's word and you'll find that you'll begin to grow. Your faith will begin to grow. Your mind will begin to be renewed. God will drop thoughts and ideas into your heart. You'll get access to the mind of God about situations and circumstances in your life. You'll begin to grow in your love and your knowledge of God when you grow in God's word. You can grow in God's word by going to college. That'd be one of the greatest investments that you can make if you want to fast track your growth in God. Commit a year and say, God, I want to study your word. I want to live in that word. I want to grow in my knowledge and understanding of the word of God. I've seen so many people who've done that, made that decision to sign up and say, I'm going to give 1 year to college. And through that, their growth in God has just been remarkable simply because they've made that decision and say, God, I'm going to grow in your word. I'm going to grow in the knowledge of God this year. And here's the fifth step and the last step here tonight, and that's to find your purpose. You and I need to find our purpose in life. And this is where I believe that Christianity becomes a lot of fun, because it's not just about existing in life, but actually God's put us here on this planet with such a sense of purpose. God has not created us to exist. God's not created us to live in survival mode. In fact, God wants to get people out of survival mode. God wants to get us out of just a problem mentality, saying, I've got this problem to deal with now. I've got that problem over there to deal with, and this thing over here. God wants to get us out of problem mode, and God wants to get us into purpose mode of living. And the best way, I believe in this, the best way in life to solve your problems is to have something bigger than your problems to live for. And that's the solution. You see, you have a God-given purpose. And actually, what the greatest or the primary purpose of the church is to help you discover that purpose and to equip you to live out that purpose. You see, God's created you for a specific purpose. In fact, when you discover the purpose of God for your life, you begin to actually shift into one of the most important, I believe, modes of our life. And that's the mode of being able to go and help others, to go and make a God-given difference in someone else's life. And there's many people here tonight, and you're doing that right now. You've discovered purpose. You've discovered that. But maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, God, I don't know what that is. I don't know, God, what purpose you have for my life. I don't know what that assignment that you have is. I believe this, it's in the house of God that you and I can discover God-given purpose for our life. You see this, I believe there are two great days in a person's life. It's the day they were born, and then it's the day they discover why. When you and I can wake up and know why we exist, when you and I can actually come alive to God's purpose for our life, I believe that's the point when you and I are truly living in life. This is what it says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's workmanship. That word workmanship there, it means this. It means that you and I have been specifically crafted. We've been handmade by God. So I want to tell you here tonight, you're not an accident. You're not a nobody. You're not average. Everything about you has been crafted, designed by God himself. Your personality, the way in which you see things, your giftings, what makes you laugh, what makes you cry, everything about you has been made by God. And listen to what it says. We are God's workmanship, but we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we weren't just created to exist. We weren't just created to go through the motions. The Bible says, no, we were created in Christ to do the works that God has intended, good works. So God's created you to do something. See, God had a purpose. Here's the thing. This is what I love about God. God had a purpose, an amazing purpose. And then God created you to fulfill that purpose. You see, the purpose that God had, he then attached it to a name. And he created you to fulfill that purpose. And when you and I can actually connect our life to God's purpose, it's the most amazing day. It says, God has created us for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God had that purpose. He had it in mind from the very beginning. And God wants you and I to discover not just the power of our relationship and what that can do when we begin that relationship with him, but God wants to set you and I on that pathway of purpose.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.